But we will decide who comes to this country and the circumstances in which they come.
We are at real risk of seeing more boats.
People smugglers are engaged in the world's most evil trade, and they should all rot in jail.
And you've got to have the willingness to turn boats around where it's safe to do so, in addition to rigorous offshore processing.
But we will decide
we
who
are
comes
at
to
real
this
risk of seeing more boats.
We are at real risk of seeing more boats.
We are at real risk of seeing more boats. We are at real risk of seeing more boats.
The issue of refugees is a divisive one in Australia. Debate is fierce. Opinions are loud. Policies change quickly. Pretty soon you can feel adrift in a sea of soundbites. And what of the refugees themselves? We're a nation talking about refugees, not with them. Where are they in all this? My name is Christine de Rosario. I'm an old girl from St. Scholastica's Glebe, a college in Sydney's inner west established by the Sisters of the Good Samaritan. Today, these same sisters, Good Sams as we used to call them, invite you to take a closer look at the issue of refugees, to see the people behind the label. At St. Scholastica's, we learnt a lot about the plight of refugees. We were taught how the gospel parable of the Good Samaritan offers a model for how we should respond to all people who are left bruised along life's road, including refugees. Such caring or hospitality is a core value of the Sisters of the Good Samaritan. Sister Colleen Leonard, a retreat facilitator in Victoria, who is involved in regular pastoral visitation to refugees, explains.
As a Good Samaritan sister, I'm challenged to live the values of the gospel parable, which is essentially a story about compassion, justice, and right relationship. My understanding of the issues is that their rights are not respected. They're treated like prisoners, locked up. They come here not for a better life, but so that they can live. But Australia's treatment of them is shocking. During my pastoral visits, I can see the impact of inhumane treatment on their mental and psychological health. Most of them have sleepless nights. Many try to commit suicide because they are not being heard. They are worried about their families, with whom they may never be reunited. So, as I reflect on the parable, are we just going to pass them by?
The United Nations defines a refugee as a person who, owing to a well-founded fear of being persecuted for reasons of race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group or political opinion, is outside the country of his or her nationality. It's a definition Australia accepts, having signed up to the UN Refugee Convention in 1954. This convention also says that many actions that would normally be considered illegal, such as entering a country without a visa, should not be treated as illegal if a person is seeking asylum. Australia signed up to this bit too. As for the causes of such well-founded fears, there are many. Johnson Noor, now a community development worker in Western Sydney, fled from Sudan during a government crackdown on religious freedom. He spoke to the Good Sam from a small office where he works with a newly arrived African community.
My father was one of the people who opposed the government, and he left the country for a neighboring country, Ethiopia. In Ethiopia, he sent a letter to my mother that I and my mother should come to Ethiopia. And my younger sister was only 4 years old at the time, had to remain with my grandmother in South Sudan. Because from South Sudan to Ethiopia, we had to walk, and it was 3 months walking. Before we set our journey for Ethiopia, my village was attacked by government soldiers and had to run away. We went to my grandmother's mother's place and we left my sister there and we set our journey for Ethiopia. On our way to Ethiopia, we were 2,000 women and children crossing the border. and we had to cross, you know, River Nile. And while crossing River Nile, many women and children drowned in the River Nile, you know, including my mother. And when I arrived in Ethiopia, I was told that my father was killed by Sudan government soldiers in the border. And from there, I became an orphan at the age of 7, and I went to one of the orphanage schools, which was run by missionaries and the opposition, you know, group at the time.
Conflict features in the lives of many refugees. Mariam Verzadeh came to Australia as a child from Afghanistan. She is now a lawyer and human rights advocate. She spoke to the Good Sams over the phone from her residence in Canberra.
I played no part in deciding that I would be born in Afghanistan. No one asked me, do you want to be born during the Soviet war, you know, into a country that's full of turmoil, into a country where, you know, women struggle to get an education or to leave their homes or things like that. Nobody was given that, this, you know, was given that choice, just as equally that, you know, someone who was born in North Sydney or even, you know, in Dubbo or wherever, nobody asked them, do you want to be born into, you know, in Australia where you will be privileged and have the opportunity to get an education, have, you know, basic fundamental human rights granted to you without you having to fight for them.
Nada Raja, an ethnic Tamil, fled Sri Lanka to avoid the long-standing conflict between the LTTE, sometimes just called the Tamil Tigers, and the government forces. At a recent gathering for Sydney's Tamil community in Parramatta Park, he explained why he fled.
What we need to do every day, every night, knock the door, we scare. We can't live like that. Army's boom, 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 shooting everything, so we can't, we don't want to hear that noise again. That's why we want to go anywhere, because we don't need the job from, we are came by safety for our life.
Escaping the conflict zone is often just the first part of a refugee's journey, as Colleen explained.
I am concerned about the processes they're put through, unbelievably slow and tedious. The rules and regulations and the conditions of the detention centres I find appalling, because we're talking about real people, human beings, who are being deprived of their basic human rights. Every time I visit a detention centre, I ask myself, how did Australia become so heartless? I've heard some people say asylum seekers should go back where they came from. But the human rights of the asylum seekers and refugees are being violated, and we should be ashamed of such attitudes.
Detention centres are part of the vetting process, whereby someone claiming to be a refugee, called an asylum seeker, can either have this status recognised or rejected. In Australia, those seeking asylum by boat are overwhelmingly recognised as refugees. 91% in 2011 to 2012, and 93.5% the previous year. Sister Sarah Pulse has had considerable experience as a caseworker with refugees. Speaking from a rainy inner-city cafe, she recollects how she found Villawood disconcertingly like a jail.
When I first began working with asylum seekers, I was involved mostly with people who were on bridging visas living in the community, and I didn't really have much sense of what life was like for people who are detained in our detention centres around Australia. Over recent months, I've been involved in visiting the Villawood Detention Centre with a group of people who go just to bring friendship and company to people who are in detention. When I first went, I was really quite shocked at the situation in detention. I previously have done a little bit of ministry work in chaplaincy in prison system in Victoria, where I went to visit Port Phillip Prison, which is a high security prison. And I was really surprised and shocked when I thought about how similar the prison is to the detention centre in terms of what it's like for visitors, but also in terms of what it's like for people inside the detention centre.
Life on the other side of a detention centre is also not necessarily easy. Making Australia home can be difficult. Negative stereotypes and perceptions can haunt refugees. Mariam Bezadeh had this to say.
Most people lack an understanding of the circumstances which drive people to come to migrate to other countries, to seek asylum elsewhere. They just don't understand. If you ask them, okay, are you familiar with the situation in Afghanistan? Do you understand what's happening in Sri Lanka? Chances are they'll say no, yet they won't hesitate to give you this, you know, all of this vitriol against asylum seekers, but they're not understanding the reason driving these people to leave their home country.
Sarah worries about the role of the media and politicians in making life harder for refugees to settle in.
In the parable of the Good Samaritan, the man who is beaten and left for dead by the side of the road, his situation is compounded by the fact that not only is he beaten and that man walks away, but then that other people walk past too. That the first two people to come near him are not prepared to stop and to assist. And for me, it's important to not be someone who walks by, but to be someone who stops to assist people. And I think in our current community, in Australian society at the moment, asylum seekers are a group of people who are beaten in lots of different ways by our politicians, by our media, by our laws even, and treated badly. And I think it's important for there to be people who respond with compassion and want justice.
There are also many practical hurdles facing refugees. Vinathan Sarachandran, or Vino to his Aussie friends, remembers his earlier struggles to find work and learn English.
First couple of years really very hard for me because of the language is the first problem. And second problem is they ask for experience. What experience have you got in Australia? Because new arrivals, someone have to give us the job to do and get the experience. If that no one give us the job, and how can I get the experience? You understand what my question is?
Even when a refugee does settle in, they can still struggle with the tag of being a refugee. What other group of people are defined by their mode of transport into a country? Sarah has had personal experience of this.
My experience in working with asylum seekers and refugees has taught me a lot about life and human beings. And one of the things that I'm really struck by is the fact that people are people, whether they're asylum seekers or refugees, or you know, someone born in Australia and raised here with security of visa and no worries about citizenship. All of us are just people who want to be recognised as an individual, unique with our own talents and gifts. I have a friend who came here as an asylum seeker originally, and she finds it very difficult when people try to or want to define her by her experience as an asylum seeker or now someone who's been recognised as a refugee and has a permanent visa. Those things are not all that she is. She's so much more than that. And for her, it's very limiting when people want to put her in a box and say, this is who you are. You're a former asylum seeker. You're a refugee. She's a wife. She's a mother. She's a caseworker. She's a woman with intelligence and compassion. She, like me, just wants to be identified as a person who contributes to the world around her.
And so the Sisters of the Good Samaritan invite you to do likewise, to look beyond the labels, to see the person or people in front of you. Any solution must take as its starting point that the right of a government to manage its borders must be practiced with due diligence to the human dignity and human rights of those who wish to seek refuge.
I think it's inhumane to turn back the boats.
Oh, we want solutions more than slogans.
I'm not afraid of refugees.
Refugees are people too.